Let's rejoin the conversation with local historian and cartographer Rick Britton. He joins us on Fridays to talk local history, and this Friday is no different, except we get an extended hour with Rick Britton, and you came jam-packed. You got all sorts of stuff there.
I got a bunch of stuff, yeah. You know, one of the great stories of Jefferson and science involves this place in the northernmost tip of Kentucky, known as Big Bone Lick. And unfortunately, I've never been there, but I've seen the photographs, read a lot about it. And Big Bone Lick is a, it's basically a stream, but it's a kind of a saline spring. It's a salt bog. And
where is it?
It's in the, if you can imagine the map of Kentucky, it's just off the Ohio in almost the northernmost tip of Kentucky. And it's only about, it's about 30 miles from Cincinnati on the Kentucky side of the Ohio River. And it's a stream that flows into the Ohio, but this one area where the lick is a salt bog. And in the Pleistocene era, the large animals from that period, the mastodon, American mastodon, the mammoth, bison were around then, the ground sloths, you know, animals just like today, animals back then required salt for their constitutions and the trace elements that are in the salts, things like selenium, magnesium, tungsten, iron, they require these for their constitutions. And so they're drawn to this. They can actually sniff it evidently in the atmosphere. They can sniff the salt. And so they're drawn to it. And because this place was a marsh, they would wade out into it, into the mud, into the marshy water, and actually lick the mud, actually consume the mud. But because these large creatures were so big and because this area was a bog, they then sank. And so there's this one area at Big Bone Lick, you know, a couple of acres, where there were literally hundreds and hundreds of these animal skeletons. And some of the early...
Hence the name Big Bone?
Big Bone Lick, Kentucky.
Because yeah. They found a bunch of big bones, I guess.
They found some big bones. Here's a description from 1765. This is really amazing. And it really sounds like we're talking about someplace in India or Africa. In our way to the lick, we passed through a fine, timbered, clear wood. We next came into a large road which the buffaloes had beaten, spacious enough for two wagons to go abreast and leading straight into the lick. So the buffalo, in their eagerness to get to this salt so they could eat it, had knocked down everything in the path and formed a natural road. It appears that there are vast quantities of these bones lying 5 or 6 feet under the ground, which we discovered in the bank at the edge of the lick. We found here two tusks about 5 feet long. We carried one with some other bones to our boats and set off. So people had
been writing. And who wrote that? Who wrote that?
This had actually been written by Colonel George Grogan, who had ventured down the Ohio in 1765. He was an Indian agent for the colony of Pennsylvania, but the French had written about it. A number of English explorers who had gone down the Ohio going west had written about it. And during the American Revolution, Jefferson in Philadelphia, somebody had handed him a molar that had come from Big Bone Lick, from a mastodon or a mammoth. And, you know, if you see this molar, if you can imagine, it's about the size, you know, of a cantaloupe or a small melon, a honeydew melon. And knowing Jefferson, you can just imagine, you know, a guy handing this thing to Jefferson. You could just see him standing there, how it would pique his scientific, his philosophical curiosity. So he held that curiosity until he was able to, in 1807, commission an expedition headed by William Clark, the same Clark of the Lewis and Clark expedition, to go out there. Now, on the earlier Lewis and Clark expedition, he had asked them to keep a lookout out west to see if maybe they could find a live mastodon. And I know that sounds amazingly silly today.
But he didn't know.
Well, there was actually an Enlightenment theory that was called the chain of being, that talked about how anything that had ever existed continued to exist. They did not understand, obviously, at all the theory of extinction, the idea that animals could become extinct. So Jefferson actually believed that something once existed would continue to exist. So he asked them to look for live mastodons, how they were going to be able to rope something and bring it back to Washington, D.C., but also to send back some bones from Big Bone Lick, Kentucky. They dug up a few, and they sent them back to Jefferson on the way out to St. Louis.
And this is when he's president, 1807, towards the end of the second term.
But I'm talking about the Lewis and Clark expedition.
Oh, okay.
Now, so even before the Big Bone Lick expedition of 1807, they sent some boxes back, but the boxes were lost at sea in transport. While Jefferson was governor of Virginia, he had a chance to interview some Delaware Indians, also known as Lenape Indians, and he asked them if they had anything in their tradition, if they knew about these large animals. He was particularly interested in the mastodon, the mammoth. He asked them, and this was in the governor's house in Richmond. Their chief speaker immediately put himself into an attitude of oratory, and with a pomp suited to what he conceived the elevation of the subject, related a tradition handed down from their fathers. In ancient times, a herd of these tremendous animals came to the Big Bone Licks, said the Lenape warrior, and began a universal destruction of the bear, deer, elks, buffaloes, and other animals which had been created for their use by the Indians. The great man above, looking down and seeing this, was so enraged that he seized his lightning, descended on the earth, seated himself on a neighboring mountain, and hurled his bolts among them till the whole herd were slaughtered, except the big bull, who, presenting his forehead to the shafts, shook them off as they fell, but missing one at length, it wounded him in the side, whereupon, swinging around, he bounded over the Ohio, that's quite a feat, over the Wabash, the Illinois, and finally over the Great Lakes, where he is living to this day. So even the Native Americans had a tradition involving these huge animals.
What a story.
Isn't that incredible? They were familiar. So needless to say, Jefferson was anxious to get somebody out there and perform a scientific dig. And so he was able to do that in 1807, and as I mentioned earlier, sent William Clark out there.
Now, see, that's interesting, because I didn't know that after the Lewis and Clark expedition, that he rehired William Clark to go on more expeditions.
He sure did.
Yeah, because I know Meriwether Lewis, was he the one that ended up killing himself?
He did. Well, yeah. There's an argument over that. It could be that he was murdered, but most people lean to the side.
There was definitely evidence that he was really depressed.
There was, that possibly he suffered from manic depression.
But William Clark did more expeditions. That's interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Clark went out there in 1807, and you might wonder, well, what was the purpose? And actually the impetus behind this was a committee that Jefferson and Charles Wilson Peel and Caspar Wistar, who was at the time considered an expert on paleontology, they were a committee of the American Philosophical Society, and Peel was actually trying to put together a skeleton in Philadelphia, a complete skeleton of the American mastodon. And so they needed certain bones. And so this was the specific charge that Jefferson gave to William Clark to get out there and find the bones so that Charles Wilson Peel in Philadelphia could complete this skeleton. It's fascinating when you think about this. This is a president of the United States getting all involved in this paleontological, that's hard to say, expedition in 1807. So much, in fact, that people made fun of him. Americans made fun of Jefferson getting involved in these things and called him Mr. Mammoth and things like this. I think the point being that, well, you know, you really should be paying more attention to the affairs of state, you know, and not messing around with, you know, with bones, you know, in the mud off the Ohio and Kentucky.
So, but did Clark go out there?
Clark went out there, and it was kind of tough because the bugs were really bad. And here's a brief quote from Clark. I've been employed 2 weeks at this place with 10 hands searching for the bones of the mammoth, etc., without meeting with as much success as I expected. This lick has been pillaged so frequently that but few valuable bones are to be found entire. I have found several parts of several heads of the mammoth, though most of them so decayed that when the soft mud was taken from them and the air admitted, they crumbled and fell to pieces. I have saved two, which are tolerably hard, also a part of the great pan of the head covering the brains. I have several pieces of the jawbone with the teeth in them, and one with a small tusk. I have also found many of the teeth and a part of a jawbone of which I believe to be the Siberian elephant, with two teeth in it. Eventually, he excavated, he and the 10 hands involved in the expedition excavated over 300 bones, mostly of the mammoth and the mastodon, American mastodon, but also of the ground sloth, sent them back to Jefferson. And Jefferson took this collection in the White House, and you can imagine Thomas Jefferson, the scientist, in a room in the White House. He got the crate, he opened it up, and he set about on his hands and knees kind of sorting them out. And he sorted them into three sets. One that was to be sent back, of course, to his precious special cabinet, he called, but the entrance hall at Monticello here in Charlottesville. Another set to go to Charles Wilson Peale, the American Philosophical Society up there in Philadelphia. But another set to a scientific museum in Paris. And it's because of his dissemination of the bones and the information about this dig that many people today consider Jefferson to be the father of North American vertebrate paleontology.
Amazing.
Pretty amazing, huh?
Rick, I didn't know any of that. I'm sitting here just, my mouth's literally open. I had no idea. I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, isn't that incredible?
I'd never heard of this expedition.
Yeah, it's incredible. And this is not the many first, people know about it.
This was the first big organized expedition, a paleontological expedition of its kind in America.
In the United States, right.
That's amazing.
Right.
Now, are any of those bones from that expedition that William Clark got at Monticello?
Absolutely. You can see them in the entrance hall. You can see the upper and lower jaw bones of teenage mastodons. Several of the leg bones, I believe, but also bones from the ground sloth and some other large animals from that period, from the Pleistocene period. Isn't that something?
Yeah, it really is interesting. And what's also interesting to me is that the politics of it, how critics would deride him for this.
Oh, like, yeah.
You know, you shouldn't be doing that. Don't get messed up with that science stuff.
In fact, I wanted to do an article about this. I think it would be really hilarious because of the popularity of these bones. For a while, a mammoth was used, all over the country. So there was a mammoth cheese that was like 1,000 pounds that was made somewhere up in, I think it was made up in Massachusetts, that they rolled all the way down to Washington and presented to President Jefferson. But there was mammoth this and mammoth that. They called them the mammoth, by the way, but we've categorized them nowadays as the American mastodon. But in Jefferson's day, they were mammoths.
Very interesting that when they built Brooks Hall, the Museum of Natural Science at the University of Virginia, which is now the home of anthropology and studio art, I think,
mm-hmm.
there was for many, many years a big stuffed woolly mammoth in there.
Right. And, you know, some
which I don't think was taken down until the 50s.
Actually, some of Jefferson's bones for a while, too, were at the University of Virginia. And I remember reading a number of years ago, about 10 years ago, that they uncovered a box at the Natural History Museum, which is where? The Virginia Net? Isn't that in Martinsburg?
Yeah, and it's gorgeous. The new museum down there in Martinsville?
And they found,
it's really nice.
And they found some of them down there. And they did a
of Jefferson's that they mastodon
think
bones?
They think may have been, and they studied some of the soil, and it resembled the soil from Big Bone Lick, Kentucky. Now, I didn't read anything else further on that, but they might have some of them down there in Martinsville.
Interesting. And yeah. I don't know if anybody listening has been down there, but we were down there a few weeks ago, and that is really public money well spent. It is deluxe. And down in little old Martinsville, there is this huge, massive natural history
now
museum.
Now, how do you get there?
Oh, Lord. 29 South.
Right.
To, Martinsville. You know, you go 29 South, then you go, what do you get on, 340 or something like that? I wasn't driving.
I've never been. I'll have to go.
You cut over to Martinsville.
Okay.
It's down near Hurt and Danville and beautiful.
Oh, it's down by Danville.
Yeah, it's beautiful south side of Virginia.
Okay.
Chatham, that whole area.
Okay.
And it just sticks up
out.
Downtown. It's just gorgeous, and it's first class.
Maybe down there they've got those bones on display.
They just
from
might.
The American mastodon.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. Thank you, Rick.
You're
very
welcome.
Much. Rick Britton, local author and historian. You can learn more online at rickbritton, BRITTON.com. And we will see you next week.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Uh-huh. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Let's. What are we going to do now, folks? Why don't we take a break? And then when we come back, we're going to play our little quiz and give away some football tickets. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070, WINA. Happy Friday. Because I love you.
too much, baby.